Amen. There's power in Jesus' blood. We believe it. Thank the Lord. 196, ladies. My happy soul rejoices, the sky is bright above. I'll join the heavenly voices and sing redeeming love. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. I heard the blessed story of him who died to save. The love of Christ swept o'er me, my all to him I gave. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. His gracious words of wisdom were present to my heart. He took away my burden and bade my fears depart. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. I plunge beneath the fountain that cleanses white as snow. It pours from Calvary's mountain with blessings in its flow. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. Oh, crown him king forever, my savior and my friend. By Zion's crystal river, his praise shall never end. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. For there's power in Jesus' blood, power in Jesus' blood. There's power in Jesus' blood to wash me white as snow. Sing of my Redeemer. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. His blood, he purchased me. On the cross, he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell how my nets stay. blood. He purchased me on the cross. He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, His triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory He giveth over sin and death and hell. On the cross, He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and His hath brought me, Son of God, with Him to be. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross, He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday He's coming back, what glory that will be. Wonderful His love to me. Let's worship, amen. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday He's coming back, what glory that will be. Wonderful His love to me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue. that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he's my Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
Glad I'm here. Gets boring there at home, doesn't it? We're used to coming here. It's hard to just sit there at home. Praise the Lord. We can read the Word at home. We know that. We like to feel the people around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. We're going to speak today about what the death and resurrection of Christ brought to us. And there's so many things that it would take us all morning to do that, so I'm not going to go into everything, but I'm going to go into several of them. 9 different points that I found. Now, first of all, I think all of us know our condition, and that was in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned but come short of the glory of God. So we really, truly need the Lord. We need Him even in our lives today. Since we are born again and we are the children of the living God, we need Him every day, don't we? There's not a single one of us here that can say, well, I'm the only one that needs Jesus. Praise the Lord. We all need Jesus all the time. And those of us that have lost loved ones, we feel that loneliness. We feel that we don't have someone there with us. But God is always faithful to us, isn't He? So let's bow our heads and ask the Lord, bless this word of God. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Oh, we cannot praise you enough that you are our victory and our strength, Lord God. We thank you for keeping us. We praise you that you have kept this congregation, Father, from this virus. and that you have kept us from this terrible rioting, Father God. We thank you that you are the faithful God, and we're believing you to bless each individual here today, Father, that we will be encouraged in you. In the name of Jesus, yes, hallelujah. We're starting a meeting at 10 o'clock now, so that's the difference in time. I think all of you know. Okay, so I mentioned that we are all have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but I also wanted to quote that scripture to Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So this was our condition before we knew Jesus. You know, don't you? And I think everybody here knows that, but there may be some that don't know that when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the life of Christ inside of you, in your spirit, and you were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and you are no longer counted as in the sin of the world. You have been delivered from that, even though the believer does sin sometimes. But there's victory, isn't there? We have a new nature that's placed in us. So the question, what did Jesus then do for us? Because we were dead in trespasses and sins and so helpless. There was no way we could save ourselves. I thought of this scripture, so you can turn there if you want, or you can just listen to what I'm saying. It's in Psalm 40. I guess I will turn there. Psalm 40, the very first verse of Psalm 40, we'll read. I have a lot of scriptures, so it's going to be a scripture scramble today. You know what a scripture scramble is? We that are younger, from the time I was a child, we always had the pastor or leader would call out a scripture, and we would hurry and find it, and we got it, we'd stand up and read it. So I don't want you to do that today. I don't really want you to, once the moment you find it, stand up and read it. Praise the Lord. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. And he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. That's one of the things the Lord did for us when we got saved. He put us upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That we are on the rock. He delivered us from that horrible pit, which would be the lake of fire eventually. The pit of destruction is what that means. And where it says he established our goings, in the Hebrew that word established means to direct or to order or make ready. So see, God has been working from a time way back there in the Old Testament times. He was working in people that loved him, that wanted his way. He would do these marvelous things for them. He would direct them and order their way in the path of the right path. And then where it says our goings, we do a lot of going, don't we? Some of you drive far to work. Others drive far to home. We do these things. This means that our steps, our going is our step or our path. And so every day when we're in this life, this is one of the things the Lord is doing for us, is directing us. But I have 9 other things that I want to talk about. And the first one is that he gave us a gift. And if you'll turn with me to Romans 5:10, this chapter of Romans is a precious chapter where he talks about how that we're justified by faith. That means the Lord has counted us righteous by faith in Christ. I want to impress on some of you that may not know, when we say justification or justified, the word means to make righteous, to make righteous. Now, you might think, well, I'm not so righteous. Well, you have a righteous new life in Christ, and that's because the Lord gave that to you as a gift. And in this verse, 5:18, we're going to look at, he says, therefore, as by the offense of one, in other words, by the sin of Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ and his righteousness, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. righteousness. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. That's a song. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be. He sees Jesus. I am righteous in his sight, and he has given me a free gift. And we find there in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. So most of us realize that we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. We have a new life by faith. As Jesus himself said in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, he didn't say go out and do a bunch of good works. That's what the Jews were doing in his day, trying to please God, and they never could please God. But he tells them to believe and in him, and they would not perish but have everlasting life. And we had a Bible study Wednesday night about eternal salvation, and the word eternal and everlasting are from the same Greek word in the New Testament. Sometimes it's just translated everlasting, sometimes eternal, but it means just going on and on and on and on and never ceasing. And that's what we have in Christ. Now, the second thing we'll look at is that he redeemed us because we were sold under sin as slaves to an evil master. That's before we knew Jesus Christ. The book of Romans chapter 3 talks about our redemption. And it says he redeemed us. What does that mean? A price had to be paid for those slaves in olden times here in our country even. They didn't give slaves away. They had to pay a price for them. And so Jesus Christ shed his own blood and paid the price. He redeemed us from our place that we were, servants of the enemy, servants of the devil, and he brought us into this beautiful redemption. In Titus 2, 13 and 14, turn there with me. I happened to just flip and it was there. So I'll give you a little bit of time. Titus 2, 13 and 14. This is such a precious text here that I like to read the whole thing, but we're going to begin reading with verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13. He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to stop here a moment and tell you how I feel. I feel like we're so close to the coming of Jesus right now. I tell you what, people who study prophecy, I talked to Brother Gene Hawkins, and I know many of you study prophecy. We never thought there would be a pestilence like this happen before the tribulation. When the Bible talks in Matthew 24 about pestilence, it means terrible diseases and plagues that plague the whole world. And we thought, okay, that's going to happen the first 3 years of the tribulation. And here we are in a plague. And I think God is trying to warn that his glorious appearing is very near. And we need to be revving up our motor to go. We're going to go to be with the Lord if we're really looking for his coming. So Jesus is our great God and Savior that gave us, the next verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Are we peculiar? Well, we are to the world. And the word doesn't mean kind of zany. That's not what it means. It means special. It means particular, purified, and purchased. Praise the Lord. We are peculiar people. We're zealous of good works too, aren't we? That means we're enthusiastic to follow the Lord and to do whatever he wants us to do. Praise the Lord. So the word redeemed is so important to us. We have redemption. In the Old Testament, they would have to pay a price to redeem another human being and buy them back. Or they had to bring their blood, the blood of their animals and the blood there, of course, inside the animal until they got killed, to redeem, to bring redemption for their sins. We don't have to do that anymore because the Lamb of God was slain for us that we might have redemption. All right, the third thing we want to look at is that He made us a new creation in Christ. He made us a new creation. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4, pardon me, 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and it can be translated creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we find in the Word of God that God doesn't just take the old race of people and tell them to be good. That's not what he did in redeeming us. He saved us and redeemed us and created a whole new group of people, a whole new race. And that is the believers in Christ. We are all members one of another, all believers. We're not partisan to our group. We don't say, we're the only ones. No, no. Every believer who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior is part of this new creation in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And we have the righteousness of Christ. Praise the Lord. So he says, old things are passed away. As far as this new creation, it's pure and holy, just like the Son of God. That's the life of Christ in us. Life of Christ that's in us is holy and righteous like the Son of God, Jesus himself. Praise the Lord. Our body can be used as an instrument of that new life to praise and worship God. Praise the Lord. So, the next thing. Number four, he set us free from the bondage of sin. Praise the Lord. Jesus said this in John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Praise the Lord. We are free from the bondage of sin. Praise the Lord. Sin shall have no more dominion over you, is what the scripture says. Sin shall not have any more dominion over you. And then in Romans 6:22, we read this verse. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Now, right now, since we have been born again, we are made free from sin and we've become servants to God. And you know, Satan will say, well, you're not free from sin. Look what you're doing. Don't listen to him. He's a liar. Sometimes we do sin because we're human. But God is there to forgive us and carry us on and lead us on in our life to growth in Christ and to changes that come in our life as we walk in the Spirit and yield our lives to God. Praise the Lord. We have everlasting life. There's that word everlasting again. Eternal. And it's the gift of God. I think it's 6:23, he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't gain eternal life by works, by doing anything except believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we are given a gift of eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? The gift of God is eternal life. Believe that, and your life will be so joyous and so happy because you know you're secure in Christ. He is faithful to you. Okay, the fifth thing. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, some people believe that God wrote your name there, but if you do something bad, he's going to erase your name. Well, God must have to have an awful large eraser because all of us have all done something wrong. And you know, I was thinking about it. You know, God has great foreknowledge. So why would he even bother to write somebody's down their name down? He knows everything. If they're not going to be good enough for him to receive them, why put their name on there in the first place? Amen. That came to me yesterday when I was studying this. I thought, that's a good thought. He loves us so much. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's in Revelation, if you'd like this verse, 21:27. It says there that no one shall enter into heaven but those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord, I can say, all of us here have our name written down on that Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased. Now, there'll be different groups in heaven who have overcome more than other groups. There'll be different rewards in heaven. But praise God, our security in Christ is that our Lamb is written, our name, pardon me, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life with indelible ink. And God does not have an eraser, because it isn't based on you and what you do. It's based on your belief and faith in Christ. You have received Christ. You are eternally secure in Christ. Praise the Lord. And the next thing, number six. Well, I ought to go back there to that other thing. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's one more verse that I just wanted to quote to you. Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me no more. Do we believe God's word? He blotted out our transgressions. And all of us have transgressions because we're human. That means sin. We all maybe doubt God sometime. We maybe do something else that isn't pleasing, but God is always faithful. Now, the sixth thing that God did for us through the blood of Jesus Christ and his cross, we became a member of the body of Christ. Let's look there in the book of Romans. I'm still there. I don't know where you are, but Romans 12, verse 4 and 5, we will read. Praise the Lord. Romans 12, 4 and 5. He's talking about the body of Christ here, how that in our natural body, we have lots of parts, don't we? Even the little tiny, tiny cells that we can't even see with our naked eye. He says, for as we, speaking of the body of Christ, of the people of believers, have many members in one body. Well, he's talking about the whole human race there. We all have members in our one body, our physical body. And all members have not the same office. In other words, a blood cell is not a toenail. You know, there are all kinds of different places, different things that our different parts of our body take care of. He says, so he's likening that to the body of Christ, to the church of the living God. So we, those of us who are born again, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We have been made one body. We're not only the children of the living God, but he placed us in the body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Because of his death, we didn't have a chance without him dying. The whole situation was the Jews were God's people, and they were trying to keep the law. They were failing constantly. And there in Jerusalem, they crucified the Lord. The Lord counted it that way because they were screaming, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate gave in and did that. But praise the Lord. We are now the children of the living God. We're part of the body of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The seventh thing. It's a good one. God is our Father. Praise the Lord. I lived without my father from about age 11 on because my dad left us and we didn't see him very often. Once in a while after I got a little older, I would see him. But it's important to have a father, isn't it? And in the natural, and those of us that didn't have that support growing up like we should have, God is always there with us. He was with me so much as a child. But praise the Lord, God is my Father. In that book of Romans there, in the 8th chapter, let's look over at that. 8th chapter, verse 16, Paul again says, the Spirit, and I say himself, because the Holy Spirit is not a it, he's a him. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, in other words, our human spirit, that we are the children of God. And if children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That means we're going to share with the glory that Christ has as his inheritance. We will be there with him. And of course, we, the believers, are Christ's inheritance. Praise the Lord. That we may also be glorified together. So we are the children and the heirs of the living God. When you were born again, you got into a big family. Praise the Lord. A family made up of people all over the world that believe. Recently, they killed a really good pastor overseas. And I got the word on it. I want to put that bulletin up in the back to just show you. But there are people all over this world that love God and are making stands for Christ, and some of them giving their life because they keep on standing and keep on believing. He is our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. How blessed we are. Glory to the Lord God, our God, our God. Not just God sitting up there with a little stick, getting ready to zap us. That's what some people think of God, as if he's just going to do something to us all the time. But he is a, you know, the word says in 1 John, God is love. That's his nature. His nature is love. Yeah. All right, the eighth thing is that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. That's Ephesians 1:3. We are blessed with spiritual blessings all the time. We are so blessed because we're the children of the living God. Hallelujah. Special blessings. Glory to God. The world is not enjoying our blessings. One of them is peace of mind. The world can be just going nuts out there. The world can be having a lot of dangerous things happening. But we are the children of the living God because of Jesus' death, and we can just rest on that. He is faithful. He's going to help us. Praise the Lord. We're blessed with spiritual blessings. And all of us, I know, here have experienced that. Just the feeling that God gives us of his love to us, all those different things that he gives, is just so wonderful. Praise the Lord. The last thing, and of course, this is not the last thing. If you decided to look through your Bible and try to find more things, you'd find dozens of other things that we have because we're saved, because we know Jesus. But this last thing is that because we are born again, he gave us the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us into all victory. And that's in John 16. Let's go ahead and turn back there. This will be our last scripture. John 16. Verse 12. Here he was talking to his disciples before he was getting ready to go to the cross. And the 17th chapter, we have the prayer that he prayed right there before he was being led away. But in John 16, verse 12. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, speaking of the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. You know something about the Holy Spirit? I guess he's a he. He never magnifies himself. He doesn't magnify himself. Jesus calls him a he. He doesn't show off himself. What he does is to point to Christ all the time, getting us to realize who Christ really is to us and what he has done for us. That's the Holy Spirit that is working. And that's one of the things we have because we're a child of God. Isn't that something? God saved us and then he gave us the precious Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We're going to, pardon me, make sure I got the right text so that I don't read something crazy. 1 Corinthians, okay, the 11th chapter, we're going to read this account that Paul gives about taking communion. We call it communion. Sometimes we call it the Lord's Supper because Jesus at the very last there, after he instructed his disciples, then he took the bread and he broke it and he said, passed it to them, and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and had him to drink of some of the wine. He said, this is my blood, which will be shed for you. So remember this when you, later on, when I'm not around. We don't have Jesus sitting right here with us this morning to do this, but he is right here. His spirit is right here. And he's going to share this with us. Praise the Lord. So let's read verse 23 of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. For I have received, Apostle Paul says, of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I have written, and I don't know if this might be the amplified version, but it says, call affectionately into remembrance. Call the Lord affectionately into remembrance. So when we're taking this communion, what are we supposed to be thinking about? See, just be thinking for this moment of time. This beautiful thing that Jesus died for us and that he rose for us, that his body was broken for us and that his blood was poured out and ran upon the ground. And through that, it washed, the blood of Jesus washed all the black hearts white as snow. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. And so Paul says, in verse 25, after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. That means covenant. In other words, he's saying the Jews were used to doing the Passover. That's what they were doing there that night, celebrating the Passover with Jesus. But he says, now this is going to be something new. This is the covenant that I want you to be under. The covenant with me, that you will do this in remembrance of me. He says, it's a covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Praise the Lord.
The bleeding lamb. My Savior suffered on the tree. Glory to the bleeding lamb. Oh, come and view the Lord with me. Glory to the bleeding lamb. It sets my spirit all aflame. Glory to the bleeding lamb. He bore my sins and curse and shame. Glory to the bleeding. And I am saved through Jesus' name. Glory to sins are all forgiven. Glory to the bleeding Lamb, and I am on my way to Him. Glory to the bleeding Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb. I love the sound of Jesus' name. It sets my spirit all aflame. Glory to the bleeding Lamb. And when the storms of life are o'er, glory to the bleeding Lamb, I'll sing upon a happier shore. Glory to the bleeding Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb. I love the sound of Jesus' name. It sets my spirit all aflame. Glory to the bleeding Lamb. And this my ceaseless song shall be. Glory to the bleeding Lamb that Jesus tasted death for me. Glory to the bleeding Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb. I love the sound of Jesus' name. It sets my spirit all aflame. Glory to the bleeding Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb. I love the sound of Jesus' name. It sets my spirit on.